let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast and beyond on today's program, This Week in America. I say that because our guest is coming to us from the United Kingdom. New from acclaimed historical novelist Pauline Sabin Moore, Brightfire, A Tale of Set and Who, a sequel to the critically acclaimed Stormfrost, set in the period 608 through 30 AD, when Christianity is struggling to take hold on the eastern side of Britain, covering important events during and after the reign of King Radwald of Set and Who. Pauline has lived and taught in Suffolk since her marriage in 1964, eventually becoming the head of English and drama at Woodbridge School. She's a National Trust volunteer at Set and Who, site of the famous ship burial and treasure, and a Set and Who Society guide, sharing the history along with thousands of visitors every year, finding inspiration there for her novels. Pauline Sabin Moore, author of Brightfire, A Tale of Set and Who, is our guest on This Week in America from the United Kingdom. Hi, Pauline. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to this fascinating sequel that you have written. And let's start off by talking about the novels that you write, because you are known for historical novels. Talk about the type of novels that you write.
Well, I write historical novels. Brightfire is, in fact, the second one. It follows on from Stormfrost, which was the first part of the story.
Yes.
And the Brightfire connects more with Set and Who, this very famous site. I don't know if you know about Set and Who.
Wait, tell me a little bit about it. Yes, just vaguely, but tell me about it, because this is, when you start looking into it, this is really fascinating, isn't it?
Well, when you look at the map of England, you have this great round bulge that faces towards Europe. And on the very edge of the coast there, facing right across from Denmark, you have a place called Set and Who. A Who is a hill or a ridge. And like the kings in Denmark and Norway, they buried their kings and queens under great mounds on a height, a Who, a hill. And on the hill by a river, they buried their great kings. So it's actually an historical place. And my book is a history of one of the kings we know about.
And you make history come alive. I wish you had been my history teacher during school. I might have paid a little bit more attention, because I find it fascinating now, especially when I talk to people like you who take history and literally make it come alive. Our guest on the program is Pauline Sabin Moore. You'll find the book listed under P.M. Sabin Moore. The book's available, of course, wherever books are sold. And her website is Set and Who, that's hoonovels.co.uk. Let's talk a little bit about the periods that you like to write about. You were drawn to this, I understand, as you were studying English. Talk about this period of novels you base your stories on, and what are some of the titles of the other books?
Yes, well, the Set and Who, because it is an Anglo-Saxon burial ground, it's quite early in the history. We're talking at about the early 700s AD and even before then. And the only reason we know any history is because a very, very famous wise monk called the Venerable Bede. I'm sure people in America have heard of him.
Yes.
And he writes a history of all the different tribes of England and how they became Christian later on. So he's got the history of our place from a monk telling the story of the last several hundred years. Nothing was written down until Bede did it. So we're very lucky to have some history at all.
The title's Brightfire is the title of this book, A Tale of Set and Who.
Yes.
And the previous book that we had talked about, Stormfrost, I mentioned in the beginning, you had mentioned. Talk about where these titles come from. How do you come up with these titles?
Well, Stormfrost was based on some Anglo-Saxon poems about a man who is cast out, desolate, on a rocky island all alone. Being exiled on an island was very common as a punishment. And one of the poems describes this storm-frosted cliffs. And so I used Stormfrost to describe the desolation that he feels as well. And Brightfire is the name of the king's sword. As you know from King Arthur and Excalibur, swords who'd won great battles were given names. So my king's sword is called Brightfire.
Well, it's such a fascinating look back at history, as I say, and makes it come alive in Pauline Sabin Moore's book, Bright Fire, A Tale of Sutton Hoo. Let's talk about where these stories are set. Sort of take us back in time. What is the era we're talking about specifically, and sort of give us a lay of the land at that time?
Well, the period of history I'm talking about, we know from Bede that Radwald of Sutton Hoo, who really existed, he's a historical figure, he dies in 625 AD. And one of the burial mounds at Sutton Hoo, or two of them in fact, contained great ships. They must have belonged to very important, powerful, rich kings. And the great ship burial that was discovered in 1939 is very famous. And we have photographs of the dig. We know quite a lot. And looking at the history, you can be 99% sure that it is the burial place of King Radwald of Sutton Hoo. He was what they called a high king, a king over other kings. Very powerful.
By the way, Pauline's website is suttonhoonovels.co.uk. You can link onto that by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get information on all of her works, in addition to the book we're talking about, Bright Fire. Talk about some of the main characters. I mentioned, of course, the king. Who are some of the other main characters that we will follow in the course of reading your book?
Well, the other main character, really, is Niartha, N-I-A-R, Niartha. She is the heroine of my first book, Stormfrost, who travels on foot all through England looking for her lover. And she encounters Radwald at various points in her life and eventually is brought back to live in Suffolk nearby. And there's a love story attached.
How difficult was...
So she is a fictional character.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when you're writing an historical novel like this, how challenging is that to do the research and then to bring in other characters like that, or maybe develop characters that history has not really done a good job of developing?
Well, I think reading the poetry, reading the literature, these are human beings after all. And
yes,
the more you know about their way of life, how they ate and drank and how they travelled and what they cooked and so on, you can sort of relate to them as human beings. And you know something about their hierarchy, who's the important person in the tribe, obviously the king.
Yes.
And, you know, they go right down through slavery. So it's a very typical human situation. And you just relate to these people and how they feel for each other.
Well, and that's what's interesting, because it's not just here's the king, here's some basic facts, here's what he did, and then go on to something else. You really make this person relatable. It's suddenly like, oh, this guy's got emotions. He's just like we were. Got a little more power than most of us do, and he's a little older than most of us are, but he's just a person like the rest of us. As you're reading through the
book,
yeah, when you do an excellent job with that. As you read through the book,
like all novels, you live with your characters and they become almost real to you.
Yeah, how difficult is that when it's over to like leave them behind? I would think you have a special kinship with these people from actually developing them, at least their characteristics.
Well, I don't know. It just develops you. You grow fond of them. You know how they're going to think. Some of the practices are what you would expect of people of that time in various positions and situations. I suppose a study of the history and of the literature of the period certainly does help. You need to know your background, don't you?
Yes, yes. And if you don't and you read Pauline's books, you'll get a feel for the background and the people behind that era of history that you're reading about. Briefly, can you give us a little bit of the plot lines for the books? This starts with Stormfrost. If you could do that first, and then briefly Brightfire. What are the main themes, storylines going through these two books?
First of all, in Stormfrost, Niartha hunting for her lover who has been exiled. Wolf, he's called. He is Radwald's brother, fictional.
Yes.
And her quest becomes a sort of adventure quest. Radwald is hunting for her. He wants her as his queen. And she walks on foot all the way through. England, right up towards the north, where Wolfe is stranded on a little remote island up in the north of just off Northumbria. And when Radwald finds her, you're wondering how much danger she is in. But by this time, she's had a baby, and Radwald preserves her and her life, rescues her from a dangerous man, and brings her back eventually to Sutton Hoo, near where his palace is, his royal hall. And she lives there as her child grows, and he becomes the king's jeweller. His name is Ricbert, and a Ricbert is mentioned in Bede. So we just have a tiny, tantalising little clue, and I'm not going to spoil the story. And he becomes a sort of link across both the books and develops as a main character in the second book in Brightfire. I don't know if that helps.
Well, yes, that gives us a little bit of background. It has my attention, certainly. Brightfire, A Tale of Sutton Hoo by PM Sabin Moore is our guest in the program. If you're Googling that, Moore is M-O-O-R-E. If you go to our website, you'll find a link on to get information on this book and all of Pauline's books. I mentioned this is a sequel. Explain that, because if you're thinking a sequel, I got to read Stormfrost first, and I highly recommend you do that anyway. But this is basically a standalone book, isn't it?
Yes, it's a carry-on book, but it stands alone, definitely. It tells the story of how Ricbert develops as the king's jeweller, what happens to him. It follows the little bit of history we do know about Radwald, and the great battle he fights to help put a young man called Edwin on the huge on the throne of the huge kingdom of Northumbria. And we know that is a historical fact. So you can trace the history, but use your own characters to develop that history. And because you are becoming involved with them, I think the history becomes more interesting. You become emotionally involved as well.
Well, it does.
It's not just facts.
It's a well-written novel. It happens to be based on history, so you'll learn some history as you're reading it, but you're being entertained by the storyline that Pauline has throughout the book. How did you come across this particular period in history? What was it that fascinated you about this time period that you decided to write the books?
Well, I had studied Old English, Anglo-Saxon, as part of my English degree many years ago, and it was a bit of a struggle learning Anglo-Saxon, you can imagine.
Yes.
And some of the poems we read were pretty dull, and it was later reading some poems in a book which had an English translation as well, I might say, I discovered this love story. And it was hidden away, and you could piece them together and make a love story out of it, as well as the historical, stuff with battles. Now, there are other writers who do splendid battle scenes, so I left that to them. I think I have one short battle scene, but it's the people that interested me, and how they lived, and how they do things like producing beautiful jewellery and swords and so on. That's why Brightfire is so important as the title of the book. The name of the king's sword. When you look at the little individual chapters which tell they have the voice of the sword. And the voice of the sword tells you really the story of the king as well.
It's a fascinating read, Brightfire, A Tale of Sutton Hoo by PM Sabin Moore. Pauline Moore is our guest on the program. Our website, and I'll do this one more time towards the end, is Sutton Hoo, that's H-O-O, novels.co.uk, coming to us via Skype from the United Kingdom for the program today. You talked in the beginning about a who, what it is, Sutton Hoo, the background with that. Why has this become so important to you, not just in the book, but I mentioned volunteering there and really sharing the history of Sutton Hoo with thousands of people every year? Why has this become so important to you?
It's an almost magical sight. You go up to where the National Trust have taken over the ground. It used to belong to a very wealthy, very private lady, and she had the mounds explored. She wondered what these lumps of grass were, and that's when they found the first great ship burial. And that is what led to the mystery of who could be in it. And people began to read Bede and others to find out about this very little known history of the place. So when you walk up onto these great burial mounds, it, especially when it's not overcrowded, it's very atmospheric. It's quite isolated, just open air, the river beside where these people live, because the river is so important to them for travel and so on. And it's full of atmosphere, this place. And if you can go up there when it's not so crowded, it is really quite magical.
I was just going to say, yeah, it has to be a magical place. And especially when you describe it, whether you're out there with people and you're sharing Sutton Hoo with them, some for the first time, or whether you're out there by yourself, I get the impression you've probably visited the site thousands of times. It doesn't get old for you, does it?
Well, I'm a guide at Sutton Hoo for the National Trust.
Yes.
So I belong to the Sutton Hoo Society, which is a history-based society, and does lectures and talks and visits to places. And they train us guides. So there are about 24 guides who take turns every day. We have, it depends on the time of year, 1, 2, or 3 guided tours a day. And we just enjoy sharing the story with people.
Well, and it comes across in the book series that we're talking about, Brightfire, the sequel to Stormfrost. A minute or so left in the program. I mentioned where the book's available. You're in the United Kingdom. I don't want people to think you got to live in the United Kingdom to buy the books. They're available wherever. Where would you suggest people go to pick up copies of the books?
Well, I gather from my publishers that the book should be available in Waterstones by Christmas. I do hope it is. That's one of the great book chains in the UK. So otherwise, they would simply have to apply to Author Reputation Press to find out. I believe in the US, it is more widely available, or becoming so, BookLink. I think you can get it on Amazon, and if you can't, it soon will be available on Amazon.
And keep checking, and we've got links at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, but you've got authorreputationpress.com, and to get information on the book, the books, and background on Pauline, you can go to our website, suttonhoonovels.co.uk. Pauline, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I love the series. What are you working on now? You've got another book in the works?
No, I haven't got anything on the go at the moment. I've been too busy. And I don't know if you can believe this, but I am 80 years old now.
No, I could not believe this.
People have difficulty because I have a fairly young voice, I gather.
Well, yes, you do. And your enthusiasm and your passion, it's like somebody decades younger, the passion for what you're doing and the writing. So you're touching lives with the series as well as being there and guiding the tours daily at Sutton Hoo. Pauline, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. That was great.
It went by way too quickly. Our guest on the program, PM Sabin Moore, author of the book Brightfire, A Tale of Sutton Hoo. You'll find information at authorreputationpress.com. Other places as well. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, for even more information and direct links. You're listening to This Week in America. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.